Here we are with another Natter That Matters, because all conversations count, those in your head and outside of yourself. And today, outside of me, at the moment, is the lovely Marjorie. Look, I love that that rhymes. Hello, Marjorie, how are you?
Hello there, how are you? I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Marjorie Grice. Now, I love your surname. It's a really cool name. It's very memorable, isn't it? I think we have to have a name in business. So thank you for being here with me today. And why don't you introduce yourself? I feel sure you do a much better job than I will. Let everybody that's watching and listening know who you are and what you do.
Right. So I, as you said, I'm Marjorie, and I'm a midlife nutritional therapist is my role. But I like to help women be empowered with food and lifestyle primarily. I focus a lot on beating the bloat and helping people get their energy back. Those are the two main things that people come to me for. I'm very inspired to help midlife and menopause. Obviously, there's a massive crossover there, isn't there?
Depends what midlife is, really, because in our heads midlife is about 55-60, but that would mean we'd live to like 120, so it's a really wrong label, isn't it, really? I mean, I'd love to think that might happen, but you know, not but yeah, so I'm really, this is close to me. I'm 51 and definitely perimenopausal, and some days I want to kill people and the days I want to love them, so there's definitely a lot of that on. And the whole can't lose any weight mission, I would imagine that's what most people come for, like want to feel better and want to lose some weight, or you know, beat that kind of feeling. So how did you get into this? What's your story, Marjorie? What's your background?
Gosh, my story. So I've been in wellness most of my life, actually probably about 30 years, but I was more in worked in spas. I was a nutritional therapist, a beauty therapist, worked in the spa and wellness sort of sector and so on. I had my own business latterly doing that, but it was never enough for me. I kind of wanted to get deeper changes for people, because I don't know, but when I first started, interestingly, in as a beauty therapist, I worked in a health farm. So that is showing my age, isn't it? Because they weren't called spas. But it was much, much more health orientated. And I think that's really what was at my core, what I wanted to do was help people's health. And it's not that I'm against, you know, having some chocolate and champagne occasionally, but it, you know, the whole message gets a bit lost, doesn't it? Nowadays. So I finally got the chance to study in my 50s or late 40s, 50s, and nutritional therapy. Once my kids had all done their stuff, so it's my turn now. So got a formal qualification. And then my own health issues, I guess, as well, contributed a lot, because I had some gut health problems. And in fact, it was autoimmunity. That made me pursue sort of food as medicine, so to speak, when I was younger, sort of late 20s, really. So I was already on that journey whilst, you know, working in wellness.
Yeah. So I hear gut health issues. I see it all over TikTok and Instagram, and I kind of watch them, and they're all kind of, I just think, how do we know if we've got a gut health issue? That's my first question to you. How do we know?
You would know if it was a major issue. I mean, you know, IBS is kind of the word, isn't it, that's bandied about, which is a medical condition as such, but it is just a grouping of symptoms. So people get bloating, they often want to know where the toilet is, when they're going out. So you would know if you had a major gut problem. But to a point, we all need to have healthy gut, because the gut is so instrumental for our immune system. So it's at the centre of everything, really. And now they're looking at the links with the brain as well. So, yeah.
Because there's a brain in the gut, isn't there? Embraining is something I studied many, many years ago. So that gut feel that we talk about, that gut feeling about people, is real. So if the gut's not operational, then that part of us, that gut feeling, that instinct, that can't be operational either. So that's quite interesting. What's the difference? So, and this is a personal question without going into lots of detail, as I've got you here. What's the difference between a reaction to food, i.e. intolerance or an allergy that the gut would have, and a gut health issue? Are they one in the same? Does one cause the other? What is the difference?
Okay, so there can be a bit of crossover in some respects, but from an immunological viewpoint, they are different. So you've got a true allergy, you get an immediate reaction. So you think not allergy, you know, anaphylactic, something like that, you know, or and obviously people are allergic to foods, you know, but you'll get an immediate reaction. So whether it's a gut reaction, a skin reaction, or a breathing. But with intolerance, it's much harder to spot, because it can show up like a few days later, and you can react to different things at different times. So it's not as easy to identify. So
I've
it's
got a
very
chili.
interesting.
Actually, I call it a chili allergy, but I think it's more an intolerance because it's not like, I don't stop breathing or kind of, immediately go into any. But actually, depending on how much I've eaten, accidentally now I hasten to add because I know about it, depends on how quickly that can happen. It can be an hour, can be 4 hours, could be the next day, depending if it's a tiny little fractional amount. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I kind
you're right, you're right. It's also, the amount, because obviously with an allergy you can't have it at all.
absolutely. It's a tricky one though, because as I'm in perimenopause, without any doubt, I'm in perimenopause. There's lots of things that I feel like I've become intolerant to. Like I think dairy, I kind of now have lactose, I think. So I've just automatically started to have less of things just in case. But then I start to think, maybe it's my microbiome, maybe it's my gut health. Maybe if I sort that out, then the lactose won't be a problem. Is that the kind of thinking that people come to you with? Because I'm thinking maybe I.
Yeah, I do get a lot of people with gut health, and I think unfortunately we go down the restrictive route because that's the obvious answer if something's not agreeing with you. And obviously, for a time, you have to do that. But long term, you do want a diverse diet for a diverse gut microbiome. The two go together because think about it, like we're feeding our bugs really. So if we're not eating a wide variety of foods, there's going to be less types of bugs in our gut, which is actually what we need. Yeah, so it can be a bit of a vicious circle though. It's not an easy fix because if people have done like a low, a restrictive diet, I mean there's lots of them around, isn't there? There's quite a trend for them, and unfortunately I think they can be good for like a therapeutic period of time. I'm thinking carnivore diet because that's quite trendy at the minute. Lots of people try that. But if you do that long term, I mean, there's masses of stuff missing from your diet. But yeah, people do get relief because it's stabilizing their blood sugar and they're removing all those grains, so the gut isn't irritated by the fiber and so on. But yeah, not I don't believe it's a long term strategy.
Interesting to hear that as I am doing said carnivore diet.
Oh, that's funny.
Like I feel heard. Yeah, well, more about weight loss for me really as a short term, because I definitely know sugar addiction is real without a shadow of a doubt. And I've always liked sugar, don't get me wrong, but since perimenopause is like a compulsion. Like before it's, oh, I just like it. Oh, let's have a chocolate. Now it's like, oh, give it to me. Like, and I'm like, I've got to break that from myself. Bear in mind what I do for a living, mindset coaching. It's like, we can either work out why, and I've done all that, and I'm like, it's still happening. I think it's a physical thing. It's a physiological kind of sugar. I'm on this kind of roller coaster. So that's why I've done it, is really to get off that roller coaster
Yeah,
and get
absolutely.
got mindset around it differently, and then kind of being able to add things back in. That's kind of my thought process. So Marjorie, this is a massive subject, isn't it? I mean, we could sit and talk for days and weeks, and we could have someone else sit next to you and say the opposite. And this is where most people are so confused, aren't they? Around all the things we should do. We should eat that, we shouldn't eat that, we shouldn't eat this. Like, how does the normal public who don't have your, training and qualifications and experience, how do they make a start on this stuff? How do they think this is what I need? How do people know they need you? That's my question.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier on before I came on, what's the difference? Because there are all these diets around, aren't there? And actually something, I mean, with being a mindset coach, you'll probably relate to this. It's like we often want a quick fix, don't we? As human beings, we gravitate, we want, oh yeah. And I mean, I do it with business stuff as well. We're like, oh yeah, give me that. It'll give me a quick result. It's a natural tendency for human beings to want a quick fix. So we're gravitated towards those things. And so, and it is a challenge as a business having doing nutritional therapy because we're actually not about quick fixes. We're about the long haul and helping people make their lifestyle change and also getting to the root cause, not just, why is the gut not well? What's the behind that? It's not just the diet, not just giving you a meal plan. It's getting behind that, and then the food is the therapy, so to speak. So yeah, I think that would sum it up really. It's getting to the root cause. We're not just putting a sticky plaster on the issue or giving you an elimination diet and letting you get on with it. It's much more, and the mindset comes into it. Coaching is involved to get people to actually make the changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. You're right. It doesn't sound as sexy in the marketing, though, does it? Change your life in a year is not the same as, 12-week program, completely reset everything and start from scratch and feel great and have loads of energy and be 2 stone lighter. It doesn't sound as sexy when it's 12 months, 2 years, 3 years, which essentially is probably the reality. Yeah, it's the same in bit exactly. I love that you've drawn that parallel. It's the same, making is finding your own way, not just ooh, follow this blueprint and off we go, you've got your results. So it's a tricky one. I do think that the general public and the business arena are waking up to the not quick fix, because actually all it does is break you more, doesn't it? Do you feel like the more you do the quick fix and that doesn't work, you lose hope, you lose, belief in yourself and your trust situation, and then it's more overwhelm, more disappointment, lack of hope. I definitely think there's a cycle involved, dopamining and quick fixing, that eventually you just go, do you know what, that doesn't exist, I need to fix things. And I suppose they're the kind of people you're after, same as me actually in business. I want those people that want to come and do the work and put the effort in and step by step see and feel the changes. So how did you start your business, Marjorie? It's a question I always ask, because there's so many people out there that think, oh, I could just start a business, and they don't know how to start. What was your kind of going from being employed or not employed and starting your business? How did that start?
Well, you see, I've actually been self-employed most of my life. So, as a beauty therapist, I was self-employed quite quickly. I mean, I did work in, the high-end sort of spas, and then I set up my own business when I had children because it kind of suited me. And then I've moved around as a lot of us people do, and having to restart because my husband's job relocated, which is challenging in itself, isn't it? And I would say it's a lot different now, isn't it? Because I was chatting to somebody the other day about that, and it's you could just set up a business and stick a poster up in the local swimming pool or whatever, which is one of the things I did, and I had a clientele. It didn't
Posters.
seem so hard.
Had this conversation with my wife. So she's trying to build her business. And of course, it's hard because I can't coach her really, because she won't be coached by me. I'm a wife. So we've got a different, it's different, isn't it? But yeah, easy back in the day, because everybody knew where to look for things, and that's where we put stuff. Like we, if you needed somebody to call you, you were in the yellow pages. Like it was quite straightforward. There was no directories place. It was like that's where we picked up the phone, yellow pages, phone book. Or newspapers and magazines. I mean, literally, or TV and radio. They were, and I worked for ad and design agencies for most of my life, so I know this well. And now it could be anywhere and everywhere. Like it's definitely, it's free, but it's hard. It's very hard. It's very tricky. It takes a lot more time. Yeah. I
There's a
love that
lot
you're.
more marketing to learn, basically, isn't there? You have to learn it as a business owner. And I don't love it, but you have to embrace it to a point, don't you? And I think, I mean, even doing these sort of talks has been, it's out of your comfort zone, but you just have to bite the bullet and do it. And actually, once you do it, you quite enjoy it, really. So I
Thanks for
think,
being interviewed by somebody nice, I suppose, Marjorie. But because there's some out there that are a bit like, they'll dig for stuff. Like I think people expect that when they're interviewed from me. In fact, I interviewed a lady yesterday. She went, oh, that was just really fun and easy. I was thinking, what did you think was going to happen? I was going to like deep structure mindset coach you on there, and you give me a lot of money for that. Free on
thankfully,
that.
I've not had a bad experience of doing a podcast yet,
I love it. So what kind of people typically come towards you, and how do you serve them? What's the business model?
okay, so primarily it's one-to-one work that I do, like you've mentioned, a 12-week program. So that would be the ideal, and you get the more tailored, looking for the root cause, the sort of more functional medicine kind of background that we look into, and then you get the hand holding, and that depends on how much support people want, whether they want weekly or fortnightly. And I do like a 6 week fast track sort of thing for people that maybe are quite accountable to themselves. I don't mind. I'm also developing a group program that'll be launching probably in the autumn, so that'll be more accessible to a lot of people as well that maybe can't do the one-to-one. It's also a good way to get the basics in place, I think, isn't it, with a group program, because then
I
you've
mean, there are
got
definitely of
it.
group programs. I run lots of them because you learn from other people without being on the spot. I said about putting you on the spot. Like we don't always want that. Sometimes we want to just be able to just have that kind of free, easy thinking, notice, feel things differently. And it's really easy, that kind of different perspective, when you see someone else going through what you're thinking and feeling. I think it normalizes things. Like a lot of people think, oh, it's me, I'm rubbish, I'm this, I'm that. Lots of belief system is created. And then when you hear a group of other people doing exactly the same. It's like, oh wow, I'm just normal actually. We're all just finding our way through this situation. So I think there's some definite benefits of group programs that I think people don't understand until they do them. So
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. And the community side, I mean, the community side appeals to me hugely. And I think there's a lot of midlife women, I don't like the term really, but for lack of a better word, that do want that extra friendships and, just other people to talk to. And like you say, you're going through the same thing. Absolutely.
The midlife thing, I had a bit of a shock because I've just started a challenge, a swim 22 challenge, 22 miles in 12 weeks.
Ah,
And
well done.
my local kind of where at my gym I go to, I've just kind of gone swimming until now when I fancied it, but now it's more serious, like you have to do a certain amount. And when I looked on my timetable, there was one for the over 50s. I'm 51. That was a massive, like, I now qualify for the things that I probably thought, what is that about? Why do you need a separate? But I really get it because it's a very different energy rather than having, the 21-year-olds are going, of course, as quick as they can through the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that middle age thing's interesting. Yeah, the
It is
insurance
interesting.
and everything's different. Everything. Yeah, well, I don't think we understand that when we're younger, do we? So I'm
Yeah.
glad that you're starting to do group programs as well. I think there'll be a massive benefit for that and for you to really understand
Yeah.
things. And so what is the future for you, Marjorie? What is the big vision, the big plan? Is there one?
Well, I know I mentioned it. We started chatting a little bit about this earlier. I suppose the group program will be my next thing, and I think that's going to change things a lot, the dynamic of how I offer things, possibly, down the line. I'm quite happy at the moment the way I'm working with one-to-one. But yeah, definitely community aspect. I want to build that. And possibly incorporating a bit more testing as well with my clients. So I do use testing, but I'd like to incorporate a bit more with my
What sort of
clients.
test? Allergy testing? What sort of testing?
There's lots of different functional tests that we can offer, which are a bit different to what you get standard on the NHS. But blood testing is very well recognised, and that's kind of what I'm looking into, doing more blood testing. So it can show things about your hormone or inflammation, which has got related, all different things really. But yeah, so you're looking at more dysfunction than pathology, obviously, that you'd get with a doctor. So we're looking at subtle things that you can work on. So it makes it just a much more targeted approach.
Yeah, sounds like a really all-round approach actually. So you've got the kind of the physical kind of food and attitude, the mindset around it, and the actual physiological, this is what's going on really in your body, not just that you've got the symptoms, this is what's really going on. Sounds great. I think that's missing from us as well, because we need evidence what's going on really. I spend a lot of belief system finding evidence that a belief was ever true in the first place. I do a lot of that work. So actually if we've got, oh, actually, your cholesterol is this. It's like, shit, I need to. Oh, okay. It's like that reckoner, isn't it? That whole, oh, actually, I really do something.
For some people need that more than others. It's a personality thing as well, isn't it? I find men like testing. I mean, I'm generalizing, obviously, but yeah, they seem to be more analytical kind of brains or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, not always the case.
People just have lost trust of their own feelings. Like, I've spent
Absolutely.
like dieting and overeating. Like I don't even know my own hunger cues anymore. It's a true story. Having to relearn quite a lot of that stuff. And it's hard. It's hard when your brain is giving the cue rather than your gut, essentially. And then the gut is doing all sorts of other things. I've definitely, without getting too personal, I hear a noise and it feels like my stomach's rumbling. And then I leave it for 10, 15 minutes and realize I don't think it was that. I think it was maybe something else. Maybe it was accepting food. Maybe I don't know what it was doing. But I've always thought, oh, that's a hunger pain. Right, time to eat. Because my brain went, oh, we like eating. It gives us a
That's
lovely dose.
interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm trying to relearn, doing lots of inner work and trying to relearn lots of stuff. So yeah, I'm
That's
assuming.
really interesting. Yeah. You have to let me know. Yeah.
To join your community. So Marjorie, how can people, I want to join your community, I want to learn more and follow and stand to make sure I'm not going nuts, because that is how it feels sometimes. What where can people find you? Have you got a Facebook group or is it a website? How do we come and get you?
I've got a website, and I can share the link for my free recipes as well.
Brilliant.
So it's in nourishinsideout.co.uk is my website. Nourish Inside Out.
Very nice. Is that trademarked?
Probably should be.
So by the time you watch this, Marjorie might have tried. I like it. Nourish inside out. Okay, lovely. And which social platforms are you on mainly? Where are people?
Mainly Instagram, Facebook as well, and yeah, those two are the main ones.
Brilliant, lovely. And what would you like to have happen? with regards to the future of your business? What's the main thing that you think, like the dream? Like if I could like
Oh,
wish a
the
wish,
real
what?
dream. Well, my real dream would be to have sort of some sort of wellness center or a venue that I could hold, both retreats, but then also have the community aspect going on as well. That would be the real big dream. Yeah, absolutely.
Real bring that dream. Visualize that as often as you can, Marjorie. No idea how many people want similar things. I think if we all group together, we could literally, we could afford it probably, and also we could fill it with lovely things. I think there are some places that do that, aren't there? But actually, there's so many people who love to have that as their dream. Like we should
Yeah,
just
absolutely. I think
go
the
with that.
community side and everybody kind of working together is quite unique, though, isn't it? To get that to work really well. Yeah.
Yeah, funny idiots, aren't they?
But
Sometimes that's a bit
yeah.
weird.
But I often think that, though, if everybody clubbed together, we can do so much more, couldn't we?
Oh, about 20 years ago, I went to the Maldives. Well, it was 2005, actually. So, yeah, 19 years ago. And I was on a very small island, and a long time ago. And there was 12 couples, and we all became really good friends. And we asked one of the waiters one day, how much it cost to buy a Maldives island. And he said, it's £12 million. And we then started, for the rest of that week we were there, started to work out how we could have £1 million as a couple between us to have a Maldives Island and build it. And I look back at that version of me and think, you should have bloody well done that, because look at what they're worth now. It's like a whole other world just after the tsunami had happened. So obviously things were in a very different space. And I just haven't been able to find £500,000, which I could have done, I reckon. I could have earned it. I could have had that mission, that real vision. I could have done that. I'd be like, Marjorie, can you come over and sort out the nutrition of these people here? Like they're, yeah. Oh dear, expenses to the Maldives. It's been lovely to
I
have.
think it's just a massive growing industry, isn't it? The whole wellness thing, and it's changing really quickly. And mindset, I mean, mindset's closely linked to it. Mental health has come to the fore, hasn't it? So I think there's a massive.
Industry is growing because illness is increasing. Like we've never been, have we? I watch a lot of documentaries on this. We've never eaten so badly. I watched one last week about 80s food and when it was introduced, like fast food essentially, market ready meals, and how. People, and it was really interesting to watch the interviews that went on. You should go and find it. You'd probably find it quite interesting about whether people would eat them. And there was a, how we spoke as well. Our accents were very different. Oh, I can't see what way of chips when I can just put them in a chip fry. There was like, we look at how we are now. Like everything is convenience. And what we said earlier, the fast fix, isn't it? Grab a lasagna, stick it in. It's quite a common thing. So very different
There
attitude.
is more awareness. I mean, I know there's, misinformation as well, but there is more awareness, isn't it, about what to eat for breakfast and ideas for recipes. I know my, my children are much more, they'd have a more protein-rich breakfast than I would ever have done. So,
Yeah.
that will stand them in good stead.
I mean, I had cereals every morning. My mum and dad didn't eat breakfast, but made me eat cereals. I look at that and think, hang on a minute, what's that about? My dad used to be a bit, I used to do a manual job and he didn't have any breakfast. And yet you're stuffing me full of Frosties. Like, oh, Weetabix. Like, just think about that. I think that's not logical. I was talking yesterday about how the breakfast is a myth. Actually, you don't even need breakfast if you don't want breakfast. And my wife doesn't eat breakfast. She does never hungry till about 12:30. She's a type 1 diabetic. So actually, she wants to keep her blood sugars as stable as they can be for as long. So, yeah, she doesn't eat breakfast at all. So I think, there is definitely some elements of your own body type and,
Absolutely.
blood as well. Does that come into it? Like different blood types?
Yeah, I
No.
mean, not so much, not in my, I've looked into that and I don't believe it's that scientific, the blood type thing. But who knows, it might be something we've not discovered yet. It's got to be some.
Research list, there must be said no to the blood type.
But definitely our genetics is the main one, isn't it? So you can also do genetic testing to see what your predisposition is. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the thing that it's telling you. But you can mitigate your diet and lifestyle to prevent that expressing itself. It's, the epigenetics doesn't actually, because I mean, I think that's the other thing, going back in time, you would have thought, oh, well, that's just how I'm going to be because that's how my mother was, but that's not the case. You can
Yeah.
change, can
Yeah.
change. That's that brings us, gives us proact makes us proactive instead of just being passive in with our health.
Yeah, I mean that's true because my mum really struggled to sleep. She was on a sleeping tablets pretty much all of her life. And because of that, I would never have a sleeping tablet. It doesn't matter what's going on in my world, and I've had quite a lot of trauma. I don't believe in that. I absolutely will let my body fall asleep. And because of that, I've always slept well. Perimenopause is having a little crap with it. We're getting a few up and downs in the night, but apart from that, Yeah, so it, you know, it isn't a case of because this happened that this should happen to me. I definitely understand that. Yeah. Well, we could sit and chat forever, Marjorie. We really
I
could.
know, I know.
If you want to have a conversation, and obviously a natter with Marjorie, I feel quite sure she would happily have a conversation with you about all the things that we've been talking about, and probably a whole load more that are relevant to you. So do go and find her on our website and social media. And thank you very much for being here, Marjorie. And I'm going to come and find you, find out how much I can learn from you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.